Crunch Time!
Crunch Time!
You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Crunch Time!
Crunch Time!
All righty, Kansas City, welcome to Crunch Time. It is Tim and Frank Bull. And we are here right about 30 days away from the NFL draft, Frank. And I know there's a big buzz in Kansas City. And I'm working my way back to you, babe. I will be back in town here in about another week or so, back at the home headquarters at 810 WHB, where you and I can look at our beautiful faces as we do the show. And I've been gone here for about 2 months, and I do appreciate all the effort that you've made by, going in and taking care of business. And the draft is right around the corner. We got to thank our great friends from CBD American Shaman, the products at the forefront of dealing with everything from stress to epilepsy, pain, Parkinson's, Crohn's disease, with their vape oils, creams, roll-ons, you name it. You get 30% off all products, whether you're thinking about, the golf season coming up, or you're trying to get in shape for the summer, you're going to have those aches and pains. Don't forget about our topical creams, our water solubles, and all the great products over at CBD American Shaman. Just an unbelievable company, an unbelievable Kansas City company, Frank. And, being a guy who plays golf and walks and does all this stuff that you do, I know that you take advantage of a lot of the products. And doesn't matter whether you're 13, 14, 15, 16, and you go in there with your parents and they find a product that can help you out, or you are in your 70s, 80s,
60s,
90s,
70 or 80.
Yeah.
Or 90.
It doesn't matter. You know what? Some great products for everybody. Make sure you pop over to CBD America Shaman. 30% off all products all day today.
Yeah, and it is a Tuesday. We know it's a strange day. We got some stuff coming up tomorrow. We've got Final Four coverage. They'll do some bonus hour stuff on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we obviously have the Royals opener. It is their home opener. It is their opener for the season. And that is that will happen on Thursday. And we'll have a big post-game show after it's over, so we won't be there on Thursday. Pretty soon we'll get back to our normal schedule, as normal as it can be, especially this time of year with college basketball going on, but it doesn't interfere now with the Saturday, Monday semifinal and final for the NCAA basketball tournament. So that's where we are at the moment, and that's why we are on Tuesday night, 30% off tonight, all the way until 7 o'clock. Don't forget about the big CBD American Shaman concert at the Voodoo Lounge with the NFL alums. There'll be 30 to 35 alums there, mostly Kansas City Chiefs, and it features Uncle Cracker, CeeLo Green. It's on the 29th of April from 5 to 11. Blaine Howard will be there too, Tim. I know I usually leave him off there. That's not very nice. And then for VIP tickets, 816-679-2467. You can text that as well, or Jamie at kcdraftparty.com. Also, I just talked to Jamie Woolard this morning. Billy Bob will be there. Bill Moss, one of our favorites. Patrick Mahomes Sr. Excuse me. Patrick Mahomes Sr., Patrick's dad. Eric Warfield will be there. Bluma and McCray, the America's guest, will join us as well. So it's going to be a really big, fun night. And, Tim, you've got some other things happening on draft week as well. Why don't you fill us in on those?
Yeah, hey, thanks for bringing that up, Frank. And, yeah, it's going to be a crazy week, as we all know. Man, I start a week before with some different events. But we'll talk a little bit about the local flavor party, which is the localflavorkc23.com. It's a great event. It's going to be starting on Wednesday, and it goes all the way through the weekend. Local Flavor Party. I'll be doing a book signing from 3 to 5 on Wednesday the 27th. And that's at the Firestone Building at 2001 Grand. Great food. Just a short walk to the Union Station. They'll have top-shelf drinks and all kinds of great food options for you. If you're looking for a place to kind of be your central headquarters for the draft, go ahead and get yourself a couple tickets for the whole week at Local Flavor KC Party 23.com. And you can just pop on in, hang out, have a couple of drinks, have some food, walk over, go to all the festivities at Union Station, and then go back for a nightcap at the beautiful Firestone Building at 2001 and Grand. I'll be there from 3 to 5 on Wednesday. And then again on Friday, I believe it's from 5 to 6. I will be there again to talk the draft and what the Kansas City Chiefs did on Thursday. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a little bit. But a lot of exciting things going on around Kansas City and the draft. And don't forget Big Brothers Big Sisters. They're having their party on Thursday night. That is their draft party. They are drafting big for little. And Sarah and I are a big couple for our little Zion, a good little guy, and we miss him. We're going back and looking forward to spending some more time with him as the spring and summer rolls around. And you guys can do the same thing and being a part of Big Brothers and Big Sisters and be a big. Make a difference in somebody's life, Frank. And then, of course, you talked about Harris Voodoo Lounge. It's going to be a great time. You know, listen, there's going to be a lot of things going on around Kansas City through the draft process and through the draft. And, you know, I know there's a lot of different options out there, but local flavor party, local flavor KC23 party is going to be awesome. So if you're looking for a place that's close, just pop on in over there.
Yeah, and also Country Financial. I just got word from Jamie Woolard that the Country Financial has come on board as a major sponsor of the KC draft party. I'd like to thank Laura Foster. She's our main gal working with so that we need them, give them, you know, just talk about them a little bit. And like he said, Patrick Mahomes Sr. will be there, and so will Eric Warfield. In Country Financial has come on board as a major sponsor for our big event coming up. So what else is on your brain there, my friend?
Yeah, and I've got to thank my old buddy, our buddy, a guy that we spent a lot of time with, Tom Freeman, who has stepped up and did some sponsorship also for the Harris Party with his FCS family office that he has. Great guy, good person to be around. So he'll be out there too, Frank. So thanks to Tom for jumping in and doing some sponsorship stuff too.
Love our guy Tommy on our road trips. He's a good man.
Let's talk a little bit about, hey, let's start out, Frank, with some interesting stuff. The NFL the NFL owners meeting is going on right now. That's always an exciting time of the year. You know, there's some rule changes, nothing real dramatic, but there are some things that are being proposed. Now, 24 of the 32 owners, right? 32 teams now? I always get confused.
Always.
32 teams?
32.
We got 75% have to vote yes or for a rule to pass. So just to let you know that, it's not an easy process. Everybody has an agenda. Usually what happens is a team loses or has something happen during the season, and then they all sit together and say, how did we let that happen? Let's change the rule. And then other teams are like, hey, pound sand. Yes, they're not doing that. So some of the rule changes, Frank, I know you have a couple too. Philly, instead of the onside kick, and this is something that a lot of discussion has been about over the years, instead of an onside kick, a team could go for it and make it 4th and 20, and if they convert, they get the ball back. Your thoughts on whether that is something that the NFL will change?
I don't think that'll pass this time. I don't think that one will change. I think that's a weird rule to me. That's just a weird rule. I don't know. I think the onside kick is, your recovery rate ain't great for an onside kick, but 4th and 20 ain't great either. Or one play for 20 yards isn't great either. One of the few teams that could probably convert are the Chiefs. you're just playing into their hands again. So I don't know I'm not sure that one will pass. I don't particularly like that rule, but that's just me.
So real quick, and I know we're not going to spend a lot of time on all these different rules because there's a ton of them. I just wrote down a couple. But do you think that there ever will be something? Because the onside kick, let's face it, the way the rules are now, they don't want guys to get hurt.
Exactly.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. So the onside kick is just about, extinct. Is there anything the NFL can do to give a team a chance if you're down by, less than a touchdown or you're trying to get back into the game at the very end of the game? Do you think there's anything the NFL could do to facilitate a rule that can help a team out to try to get back into the game?
I don't know. Play better.
Yeah.
How's that sound? Yeah. Don't get so far behind. Don't get so far behind at the end of the game. Yeah, no, I'm not sure. I'm not that smart. I'm not exactly sure what they could do to try to bring teams back like that. But, again, you'll probably get pushback from the majority of owners not to do that. So I wouldn't see a rule like that. I don't know what they would implement to try to help a team do that. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't really have too much of a problem with the 4th and 20 deal because the onside kick, I mean, what is the percentage? About 3-4%?
Yeah, I don't even know. And the other part of that is you're really trying to cut down the concussion situation, right, or whatever, and that might play into that as well for player safety.
So 4th and 20, you know, if you put a percentage on it, it's probably a little bit higher percentage than an onside kick.
I'd probably say like 10%, maybe
yeah,
right in there.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, you know, defense knows. So the defense is going to drop back. They're going to leave you some holes. So if you can get a ball into a spot about 10 yards down the field and let that player make up the final 10, you know, like, you know, to avoid some tackles or whatever, or you start putting the trick plays in there somehow, that might add some entertainment value. I'm not sure. We'd have to see how that goes. Just not sure that's going to pass.
Frank, on a side note, off topic a little bit, I've been watching the XFL, and you know what? I'm kind of getting into it. I usually don't really particularly like spring football leagues, and I just, you know, but there's some really quirky little things that they're doing with some rule changes, and then, you know, there's some pretty good talent out there. There's some good football players that are playing. It's not that bad of a product.
Yeah, it's well, I think it's like, you know, college is football's minor leagues for all practical purposes, but the XFL could be like that, not the taxi squad, but guys who could be, they call them 4A players. Instead of being in AAA Omaha, there are baseball players who they think are on the verge of or should be in the majors that aren't because certain rosters are full and there's just not a spot for them. They call them 4A players. You know, just good enough to get up and get a cup of coffee every once in a while and then sent back down and then be brought back up if you get an injury. Maybe that's what the XFL is trying to do and showcase these players, which is a great thing for the NFL because they can pick some players off of these teams when they, you know, when they really are in need.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it is good for the NFL. If anything, it has a couple of these different rule changes with points after touchdowns. Some of them are a little quirky and a little bit, you know, maybe jumping the shark a little bit. But, you know, at least they're experimenting and they're trying different things. And the NFL can watch them and say, you know, we kind of like that or no, we're not doing that. So, yeah, it's not a bad thing. And then actually the USFL is starting here pretty soon. And, you know, heading down with my buddy Tom. We just talked about we're going down to Birmingham to play a little bit of golf. I know you were invited, but had some things, some conflicts. But we're going to go and watch my buddy Skip Holtz coach the Birmingham Stallions and go to a game there. So, yeah, you know, hey, everybody loves football, and, you know, a lot of times the product just isn't that great. But so far, the XFL and USFL is kind of holding their own. All right, let's go to the Rams. The Rams have said, okay, we want, and this is an interesting one too, Frank, roughing the passer call reviewable. So this isn't where, you know, they think it was a roughing the passer and they didn't call it, and they want to review and see if it was roughing the passer. This is it. If there's a roughing the passer called and they want to say, hey, that wasn't a roughing the passer, that they can go ahead and review that and overturn the call. Your thoughts on the roughing the passer, the protecting the quarterback, and reviewing another call on the field?
Yeah, well, it's going to slow the game down. Again, the more we get into this, especially on a review situation, the coach can call for throw the red flag out and want it reviewed, which you couldn't do before, and the referees themselves can make a judgment call on their own to review what they have just called as well. One ref might see it one way, another ref might see it the other way. Somebody throws a flag, refs get together and go, I'm not sure. It looks like he tried to, you know, roll off him, or he didn't put his full body weight on, or he put his hands down and really didn't come down that hard on top of the quarterback. So I think that's a good rule. Yeah. I think roughing the – yeah, I think that's – you know, I could see that happening, yes.
Yeah, and listen, it doesn't take that long. We all watch the games, right, Kansas City? We all watch the games. And you know what? We make a – you know, I know a lot of it is through cheap colored glasses most of the time on these reviews, but it always kind of says, you know what, we could figure that out a lot quicker than they did. So, and I know under the pressure and they want to get it right, but, you know, if they say, hey, listen, we're going to, you know, as soon as it happens, you throw a flag, They watch it in New York, or they have somebody there watching it, and he watches and he calls down and says, "Hey, yeah, call stands or overturn that call." If it's a quick thing, I have no problem with it. But I agree with you. If you got to walk to the sideline and, you know, watch it for a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes, and then, you know, discuss and takes 5 minutes to get the thing, you can't slow the game down. Hey, listen, Frank, I went to two minor league baseball games this year already, one with the Mets and one with the Cardinals down here in Florida. I love the pitch clock. I know people will say, I'm telling you, the game was done in about 2.5 hours. It was awesome. It just flew by. I mean, and that's what the millennials and this Generation Z or X, whatever the hell they call themselves now, they don't have the patience to watch sports. So the more time that you have, you know, reviewing calls or slowing the game down, the more you're going to lose these younger fans. And that's why baseball had to do something. The game had to go a little bit quicker. I like it. I think it's great. I think they should stick with it. And, you know, let's speed the game up a little bit. So, yeah, if you slow it down, I'm against it. But if you can get it called quick, and I know we're going to talk a little baseball maybe at the end of the show about the Royals, but your quick thoughts on the time clock and your thoughts on, you know, speeding up these games in professional sports.
Well, I like speeding up the game, especially baseball, and they should be very, in front of all this as well, because they are losing – the younger generation. Baseball is, because the games are just too long. I mean, you go back and look at games when I was young, and I know there wasn't TV and there wasn't a 2.5 or 3 minute thing between each inning or whatever. Those games are 2.5 hours long, you know. And some of the games at spring training this year where they used the pitch clock and doing all that were shorter than games are normally. I think that's an important thing to try to speed up the game. The NFL, I think, will be in a situation where they do a lot of reviews, and the NFL is the most popular sport on the planet, and I don't think they like to speed the game up. Of course, they have a clock already. They have a play clock to get it done. So, I think the NFL is trying to do what they're trying to do to try to speed the game up, but they're not as concerned about it as Major League Baseball is at this point. And here are some other rule situations. These are competition committee rules proposals.
Go through those, Frank.
Okay.
For everybody else, so each team can put up a rule change, and then there's a rules committee that is comprised of different people in the organization, whether it's coaches or GMs or everybody else. They're part of that rules committee, mostly coaches, but they have some options that they could bring up too. So go ahead, Frank. What are those different rule changes the rules committee are bringing up?
And the one thing I'll tell you before we get into this, all of these will slow the game down. Okay, the competition committee to change the definition of a launch to leaving 1 or 2 feet or both feet, meaning if you leave one, that's not launching. If you leave both, I think that's launching, basically. But that'd have to be reviewed, I don't know how you're going to keep an eye on the guy's feet or whatever he's doing, but that would end up being reviewed. To make penalty for tripping a personal foul, that's fine with me because most tripping is intentional that you see. Right. You will see a player trip if a defensive edge guy is rushing and a tackle fires off the line of scrimmage to nail one of the defensive tackles and he leaves his legs behind him. Sometimes an edge guy can trip over a guy's legs. That is not tripping. That is, you know, you couldn't get out of his, you had to get out of his way. You tripped over his legs, but he didn't try to trip you. So they want to make intentional tripping a personal foul. They want to make a penalty for illegally handing the ball forward, consisting with other legal actions like illegal forward passes. That's fine with me. Don't hand the ball forward. You got to throw it forward to be a forward pass. Make penalty for illegal punts, drop kicks, or place kicks consistent with other illegal acts such as illegal forward passes. So that is something for the competition. To put the ball in play at the receiving team's 25-yard line when a touchback occurs from a punt. Now, there's an interesting change of about 5 yards, what they do with a kickoff. Same thing to do with a kickoff. You have a touchback on a kickoff, ball comes out to the 25. They want to do the same thing for a punt, which I think is a good rule. That will help offenses. That will put more scoring plays, put a team in better offensive field position. I like that.
I will tell you this, on that rule, Frank, I think you're going to see, once again, I think people go for it on fourth down all the time now, but there's really not a lot that you gain if you're punting the ball from your own 40 and you punt it into the end zone.
Exactly.
You might as well go for it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I think that's what they want you to do. They want to prevent the offense from benefiting by an extension of the half as a result of their foul. Meaning if the offense fouls at the half, then they have to play that game. They are not going to extend to halftime. So meaning if you have 4 seconds left, you commit a penalty and the clock has run out, the half is over at that point. Put the ball in play at the receiving team's 25-yard line. There's a fair catch on the free kick, kickoff and safety kick behind the receiving team's 25-yard line. So if they have a free kick on a touchback and they kick the ball to the 15-yard line and that player makes that a fair catch, they'll bring the ball out to the 25-yard line.
Right.
So, that again, that's offense. They want to
Isn't that what college does?
Tell you the truth, I don't know. But the other college rule, I'll talk about in 1 second, that they want to change in the NFL as well. Change it to the college rule. And then by the committee, finally, to clarify the use of a helmet against an opponent by removing the butt, ram, spear language from Article 8 and incorporating those actions into impermissible use of the helmet, which is – that's just semantics. They don't – as soon as you leave with a helmet on anything, no matter what they call it, that is illegal, and that is definitely a good rule. So there are other things here. Some of the teams want to use the number or the numerical zero, okay, which is not used. They want to allow kickers and punters to use any numeral between 0 and 49 and 90 to 99. So that's not that's not a big deal. So the other one is let me see this. I'm scrolling through here. If you want to talk a little second, I want to see what this they're trying to get a thing for pass interference.
Yeah,
which is a big rule change if it happens.
The helmet is completely out of the game. I mean, even one of the things, and it's good. It should be. And listen, it happens. Sometimes I think it's a little bit over the top with some of the calls. If a guy's running at you full speed, sometimes your natural reaction is to put your head down. Because, just to protect yourself.
sure it is, yeah.
Yeah, but, obviously they're trying to take that out of the game because really the tackler is the one that they're particularly worried about, not really the guy that's coming at you. So they're trying to protect you. So I get it. But the helmet is completely out of the game. And it's seeped down. It's in the college, obviously, and in the high school, and even into Pop Warner and the, different little leagues around the country. Is that you are taught now to tackle with your head to the side and wrapping up with your arms or bringing your hips, kind of the rugby tackle, which is good, but it's a complete change, and it's really part of the culture now of the NFL and of college football and of high school football, is that the head is completely out of the game, and it should be, but it is a change for older guys and guys like us, Frank, who played this game. Now, you played with leather helmets. I had water helmets. But,
it's not funny, Tim. I know I'm old. Okay, I got it.
We used those helmets quite a bit back in the day. And, it's kind of a badge of honor when you had big slices and gouges. And I know there's people out there that are listening to the show right now that are driving home. And they had their high school helmet, or maybe even they're lucky enough to play in college, or heck, maybe some NFL guys. And you have your helmet at home, and you see those gashes in the helmet. Those were badges of honor to have those gashes in the helmet. Look at the gash I got in the helmet from that tackle or that block. And now you look at a guy's helmet; they're squeaky clean. There's no gashes, no scratches, no blemishes, because they're taught not to use that helmet.
Yeah, and we were taught to use our helmet. In fact, we were taught. Get a couple guys in there to grab the ball carrier and then somebody come in and lower their helmet and spear them. We were taught to spear. We were taught to spear. We were taught to use our helmet. We were taught to basically try to hurt the opposing player. Okay, I can't tell you how many times somebody bit my calf when I was laying on the ground, because if somebody bites your calf, you tense your leg real quick, and that causes cramps in the lower part of your leg. I can't tell you how many times guys bit me in the back of the calf. It's just weird stuff that you were taught when you were a younger player that they are verboten now. You know, you just
can't.
It was
a different game. It was certainly a different game back when you played, and then, you know, it got a little bit softer and gentler when I was there, and now it's pillow fighting. But, you know what, that's okay. That's the way it really should be, because we've seen just through different studies and, you know, guys about my age and a little bit older that have had all kinds of issues now with CTE and other head trauma issues. And we just don't need that in the game. That'll be the fastest way for the NFL and football to go away, is having a lot of these lawsuits and moms and dads saying, I don't want my kids playing football because it's too dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what happened about 15, 20 years ago. We went through a dip in participation in football. And it's coming back now because of, you know, high school coaches and Pop Warner coaches and the younger level coaches teaching it right. So, you know, if you know a high school coach out there or somebody who coaches, you know, one of the little league teams, thank them, because they're the ones that are keeping the NFL alive at the base level.
Yeah, and it was all came out because of the concussion movie and all the stuff about concussions, and I think it's great. I think the way they do not use the helmet today compared to what it was, I think you're going to see a lot fewer cases of the dramatic brain injuries that some of these players have gone through and how it has ended their lives early. And, you know, I think that's important. I like that. Any way you take that helmet out of there is important. Here's the deal. There's two more things I want to touch on here. Number one, and we just saw it in the Super Bowl, the push rule that the Philadelphia Eagles use to just perfection. I mean, they have that perfected. The push rule, they get behind a quarterback, they push him. He made more first downs in that football game and extended drives for the Eagles than I have ever seen from any back, let alone a quarterback. So that rule will not change. I thought for sure they would put that in, as you will not be allowed to push the quarterback anymore. That rule will remain, will not be enforced. They will be allowed to continue to push the quarterback for first downs. The one team in the NFL that will never use the push is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
They won't even let him sneak for a first down, let alone get two guys behind him to push him for a first down.
Yep, absolutely. And what's your last one? You got one more?
Yeah, right. The other one is I think it was the Chargers proposed that the NFL goes from the NFL rule for pass interference to the college rule for pass interference, which is an automatic first down at the spot of the foul, up to a maximum of 15 yards from the line of scrimmage, because just think it's too penal. The NFL rule is too penal for the team that commits to pass interference. I agree with that.
Yeah, you know, listen, there's a lot of pass interferences that happen, you know, within, you know, 6, 7, 8 yards, and you're going to get 5 or 6 yards over the top. I just think that too many times, you know, you see a guy throw a bomb towards the end of, and maybe not the end of the game, but, you know, in a key situation, you got a pass interference, all of a sudden that's a 50-yard gain. You know, I don't know. I think 15 yards is plenty.
Plus, you get an automatic first down anyway.
Yeah.
You could only go, you know, you may only go 8 yards when it was 3rd and 15, someone interferes with you 8 yards from line of scrimmage, and you get an automatic first down from that spot.
Right. I like that one. I hope that that passes.
Yeah.
All right, Frank, real quick, I know we got to take a break here, but this is, once again, one of the things we love to do is talk about kind of some of the moves that's happened. Some of them we already talked about, guys who've left. Andrew Wiley, obviously, offensive lineman, has gone to the Washington Commanders. Michael Burton, the fullback, has gone to Denver. Kalen Saunders, defensive lineman, offered some good cash to go to New Orleans. Juju Smith-Schuster went out to the Patriots. Orlando Brown went to the Bengals. Juan Thornhill, who has gone to Cleveland. And then, of course, Robert Jones is going to the Cowboys. The people that have signed with the Chiefs, of course, Juwan Taylor, offensive tackle. Turk Wharton is back, defensive lineman. Charles Omenihu.
Omenihu.
Yeah, I got it.
For there
the 49ers, defensive lineman, plays both three and outside. Jody Forston, tight end. Shane Bouchel, backup quarterback. Nick Allegretti, a versatile offensive lineman, a good signing for him to come back. Mike Edwards, a safety, great safety from the Bucs, a good signing for the Chiefs. Jude Tranquil, linebacker, a great, smart, beautiful young man from Notre Dame, who's going to be playing linebacker. And then Derek Nnadi, has obviously signed back with the Chiefs. The only one who's been cut by the Chiefs is Frank Clark. And then Blake Bell, I believe, just signed again, too.
Yes.
But Deion Bush, Carlos Dunlap, McCole Hardman has signed somewhere else. Darius Harris, McKinnon's being shopped around. Townsend, the punter, he hasn't signed yet, has he?
I'm not sure, Tim, at the moment. Kickers for me, I don't care.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Too. So there are some free agents available that are still out there from the Chiefs, but those are kind of the moves that have gone on with the Kansas City Chiefs. Frank, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the draft, what your thoughts are on the draft, and then I want to talk to you about the Kansas City Royals, man. I've been listening and reading a bunch of stuff on them. People are excited about these young players on the Royals. I think that the over-under is like 72 or 73. We'll talk about what you think about that too, Frank, right here on
Crunch Time.
All righty, Kansas City, welcome back to Crunch Time. I know it's Tuesday night, but with all the buzz going around, with baseball will be on Thursday, so that kind of preempted us. And then, I don't know, well, they had something going on. Frank, well, you know what? We do a show. We're just happy to do it. We want to thank our great friends, CBD America Shaman, for sponsoring it. When we come on, we try to give you our best, and we have the best sponsor in the business. I want to thank them. And remember, guys, 30% off all products at all CBD America Shaman stores. Don't forget about your water solubles, your water topicals, your gummies, your lotions, your smokes, whatever you need, whatever you like. They got it there, and it is top quality product. I know there's a lot of people out there that are pushing their CBD, whether it's in gas stations and other places.
Don't buy that stuff.
It just doesn't look as you walk into a CBD America Shaman store, you walk it into, it looks like a spa. I mean, those places are awesome. And they're clean, and the people in there, don't be intimidated. Pop on in. Great people. They'll help you. And they will, they're not trying to, they don't work off commission. So they're not trying to force stuff down your throat. But they're going to try to help you out. CBD America Shaman, a great Kansas City company.
Yeah, absolutely. Helps me play golf all year round. I just put my topical cream on my hands. They, loosen up real quick and then just go from there. So, and don't forget, they've got the lip balm. They've got all kinds of the other stuff too. I take the gummies at night, which help me sleep. Then I take the CB Go gummy in the morning to get me going. So last thing before I go to bed and first thing in the morning, CBD American Shaman for this old man. It has really helped me, it has really helped me along the way, and something that I would have never believed in. Tim and I were both big skeptics when we first started this and finding out about it. But they love skeptics at CBD American Shaman. So when you go into the retail store, those people are very knowledgeable. You tell them what's bothering you, and they'll give you a product to help. CBD American Shaman.
All right, Frank, you said that you have some stuff you want to talk about with this free agency stuff and where the Chiefs are at on the roster.
Yeah, right. They have 61 players now signed to the offseason roster. They think the salary cap space is between 3.6 and 5.9 million. So you just sort of generally get there about $5 million of salary cap space. So everybody's wondering, well, are they going to sign Odell Beckham, or are they going to, you know, are they going to go after and trade for DeAndre Hopkins? I'm not sure they have enough money for DeAndre Hopkins. Odell Beckham, it doesn't. I really, if they sign him, fine. If they don't, I don't care. I guess Andy said the other day they're all at the owners' meetings, and he says he's a good football player, and we'll see how it goes. Didn't talk about anything about DeAndre Hopkins, so we'll just have to see how it goes. He could be playing possum too. They could be making a deal behind the scenes for DeAndre Hopkins, and you know we just don't know at the moment. So
I'll tell you, I'm just so glad that we don't have to deal with some of the stuff that they're dealing with in Baltimore and Green Bay.
Oh gosh.
I mean, I don't know about you, Frank, but I'm just so tired and exhausted about hearing about, the Rodgers deal. And
yeah, I know. I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers anyway. I'm just tired of that guy.
God. Me too. All right, the Chiefs draft coming up here in 30 days in Kansas City. And, you know, what, Frank, one of the things that, you know, you got to watch when you're watching the draft, and obviously the Kansas City Chiefs have some positions of need that they'll be looking at in the draft this year. But, you know, it's all about runs. And real quick, I just want to talk a little bit about these runs. And when you talk about runs in the draft, you always talk about these positions and how these positions are picked and, you know, of need. And, And, you know, so right now, listen, we all know the Kansas City Chiefs do not need a quarterback, which is a good thing in this draft because, well, there's about five quarterbacks that could get picked in the top 32 picks. And probably the first four picks, I'm saying, of some of these mock drafts are going to be all quarterbacks. You have Richardson, you have Young, you have Stroud, and you have Levis. Those four guys, I've seen in some of these draft prognostications that those four guys are going to go maybe the first four picks. So that's good for the Chiefs, that the quarterbacks will get off the board quick and there'll be a run on those guys. And then from there, you usually go with the cornerback position, you go with the edge rush position, and you go with the wide receiver position. The Chiefs could use some edge rushers. There are some good ones out there. You got Anderson from Alabama. You got Wilson from Texas Tech. You have Carlin from, Carter from UGA, who's more of a defensive tackle, but he's going to be picked right up there in the top as a lucrative defensive lineman in the draft. And then, of course, Luke Van Noss from Iowa. Those guys are going to go. Whether one of those guys falls down to 31 remains to be seen. And then, of course, you have the cornerback position. So there's four of those guys, Witherspoon, Gonzalez, and Porter are the top ones that they think are going to go pretty quick, which equals about 17 picks, and the first 32 are going to be kind of in these runs. The Chiefs could use an edge rusher. They might have one fall to them. So there's a couple of different things with these runs that the Chiefs are going to look at. Number one, there's about four or five offensive tackles that are of first-round grade and first-round quality. But whether the Chiefs are going to move up, Frank, because they might have to move up to get. Now, whether these runs all happen and all of a sudden you see a guy that like this, the Jones kid from Ohio State.
Ohio State, yeah.
If he drops down to, you know, some people are saying he may drop to 31 with some of these runs and some of the picks. But, you know, I think the Chiefs are going to have to watch that and see how it all sets up, see how the run's set up, and whether they can have to move up and get him at 25 or they stay pat at 31. So my prediction is for the first round for the Chiefs is they're going to watch these runs. They're going to see, you know, how many of these offensive tackles go off the board early. You know, they're talking about, you know, maybe three or four of them. Being a guy who got from Northwestern, another guy from Georgia, another guy from Ohio State.
Yeah, both Ohio State guys are in the top. They're up there.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if the Chiefs think that they can, because I've seen Dwayne Johnson or Dwan Jones mm-hmm. slide down all the way to where the Bengals are at 28. Now the Bengals just signed Orlando Brown, but they need a right tackle, so they'd be interesting to see whether they go ahead and do that. And then, of course, so there are some teams that are looking at offensive tackles late, so whether the Chiefs think that they can, you know, sneak away and stay at 31 and get that offensive tackle, or are they going to move up to 25? I think they're going to try and find an offensive tackle in the draft, and if they all kind of go, then they're going to go with an edge rusher. You know, there's a couple guys, a kid from Iowa, got Luke Van Ness, who might be a nice product for the Chiefs at defensive end. And then, of course, Will McDonald, a guy from Iowa State that a lot of people are high on, too. So my prediction is that the Chiefs will look at moving up to get an offensive tackle in maybe the top 25, probably at 25 or 26. Or they're going to say, you know what, hey, we think he can fall down. If he's picked, then they go ahead and get a defensive end.
Yeah, I don't think Cincinnati's going to want to do any trading with the Chiefs.
No.
to lose their spot. The Chiefs definitely, Tim, you know, they need some more depth along the defensive line. They need an offensive right tackle. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They need a tackle out there. It'd really be good to get a young guy in there and bring him along or whatever, but I just really think that is a huge need for this team because, you know, you're going to have, Juwan Taylor, move yeah. over to the left from the right, and like you've said in the past, that's not an easy transition. He turned around and said, oh, yeah, it's easy. It's just a matter of realigning or moving your feet. I said, okay, yeah. good luck with that. But they're going to have to move him, and they really need a right tackle. They really need a guy over there, young guy, big wingspan, a guy they can work with and a guy they can bring along. And then they'll have two. Then if they can do that, they can solidify that position, which if you believe, like everybody else in Kansas City believes, that Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, and the one reason you're going to keep going back to Super Bowls, then you got to protect your biggest asset. And I think that is their biggest need, is that right tackle. You know, that right offensive tackle. Edge rusher, sure, they could use another edge, but, you know, if the other team scores points, Patrick Mahomes is going to score more. So you just that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I know there's a bunch of wide receivers that are going to go, and you know, I
you can get them later. Yep. It's like running backs. Yep. You know, use your later draft picks for those guys.
Right. So, and I think some of these guys that are being predicted in the first round, to your point, Frank, may slide down in the second or third round at the wide receiver position. They got a ton of wide receivers in this draft again. And for some reason, it seems like some of these wide receivers slip for one reason or another. I think people say, hey, you know what, like you just said, hey, we can get these guys a little bit later. Let's get what we really need.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a ton of, obviously, quarterbacks go. I think you're going to see a ton of defensive backs go. And then I think you're going to see a run on edge and corners. So that could fit into the Chiefs' plan of maybe – not moving and getting an offensive tackle that may have been predicted to be earlier pick, sliding down to 31. If a team says, hey, listen, gosh, we have got to get a corner or we have got to get some edge rushing, you know, I think that fits in the Chiefs, because I think there's a lot of good players at those positions that could go early in this draft.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, it's interesting. This is not obviously a – I don't know if it's a need or not, but Patrick Mahomes has gotten banged up a few times in the past few years. A backup quarterback, a veteran backup quarterback, is still a need for this team as well.
Yeah, so have you heard anything? I've seen
Not a thing. Not a thing. So Shane Buechele is back, but I think they'd really like to get a guy like a Chad Henne to back up Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob Brissett is one guy, Jacoby Brissett is one guy that – has been brought up. Gardner Minshew is a guy that's been brought up. And Tyler Heinicke, I thought he had a nice year last year with Washington, but I guess he is is being pushed out. So, I mean, you get one of those guys. I mean, Tyler Heinicke, I'd love for him to come, and Jacoby Brissett would be a nice option. The guy, you know, he started a bunch of football games in his career. He's 30 years old. You know, Matt Moore and Chad Henne in the past years were about that age also when they came over, so maybe even a little bit older.
Yeah, it's interesting, the teams that are really looking for quarterbacks too. You got the Jets, they're still sitting out there waiting to see what Aaron Rodgers does, right? And you got Lamar Jackson demanding a trade now, once out. But you got teams like New England, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Atlanta, even Detroit, and the Washington Commanders are all really looking for a top-notch, you know, Detroit's in there. Detroit had a hell of a year last year, you know, but they're still looking for a better guy quarterback. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens with some of these teams. But as everyone knows, quarterback is the number one priority on any NFL team.
Frank, I think with Lamar, you're going to see somebody's going to pull the trigger and throw a bunch of draft picks at Baltimore to get him. I really do. And, you know, whether he's going to get the money that he wants is still up in the air. But, you know, a team like the Colts, they're looking for a quarterback. You know, they're talking about, hey, we may think about getting a trade and giving, their first-round pick this year, maybe a first-round next year, maybe a third-round this year, and maybe even another one to get him in the draft. Now, whether you can sign him or not, he wants to be the highest-paid quarterback in the league. I don't think he deserves to be the highest paid quarterback. He's a hell of a quarterback. I think there's about two or three guys that are better than him. It almost fits in the Orlando Brown situation where he's a quality guy. He's really, really good. And listen, I know, Ronnie, he was the MVP. I get it. But he's had injury problems. He's been inconsistent with his passing.
Yep.
But the guy's a winner, man. He just wins, and he's a great athlete. He's asking for a ton of money, and it doesn't go a long way for doing any favors for your team when you announce when your head coach is at the NFL players, NFL meetings, doing a speech, and he announces there that he wants to be traded. So I don't know. Your thoughts on Lamar, whether he'll be back with Baltimore. Hey, listen, the longer and longer this goes, the less and less money he's going to get from Baltimore.
Yeah, it seems like it could be a done deal. I'm not sure, but this is the NFL these days. There will be a lot of suitors for Lamar Jackson. There's no doubt about it. People could move out of the quarterback doldrums and move right up there to maybe, obviously a top 10 quarterback, maybe one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league. So that is a big move for anybody who's going to make that move, and they're going to pay for it. Let's take a quick break, Tim. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about draft day coming up, maybe about your NCAA bracket and how disastrous that is. You are listening to
Crunch Time. All right, Kansas City, welcome back to Crunch Time. And, yeah, we're on a Tuesday. Well, the reason we're on a Tuesday is because our Kansas City Royals, which I'm very, very excited about watching them this year, already have some tickets for some games in the middle of April. We'll be heading out there. They're excited. They'll have their opening day coming up here on Thursday.
That's right.
Pretty excited about this young team. Some players the last year were brought up. Got a little bit of experience, a couple of bats in the major leagues, and I'm hoping that they could break out and, at least be over 500. I think this is a team that has the opportunity and the ability to be over 500. I don't know what is that, what would that be, Frank? How many games in order to, you and I, I'm not horrible with numbers. So how many games are there in a major league?
You'd have to win 81, Tim.
81. So I think the Royals win, how about 82 games, 83 games.
Tim, you are the eternal optimist. The over-under is 68.5.
68.5, I'm in. I'm buying up.
For over, I agree with you there, but I'm just not, they're not ready for, we'll just say they're not ready for prime time yet. Okay, to be 500 or better. I don't see it. I just don't see the pitching. There's too many question marks out there as far as the starters are concerned. Zach Greinke's got the opening day start. You'd wish it had been somebody like Brady Singer to get it, but they, the World Baseball Classic, all the other stuff they've been doing. So I would love to see them play 500 baseball. If they jumped from where they were last year to 500, they have made a major move, and they would be the talk of Major League Baseball at that point.
Yeah, you're probably right. Maybe I am looking at it.
That's okay. That's
but,
good.
But I just, yep. I'm looking forward to, the Carlos Hernandez, I like the way he pitched in the world championship deal. I think that they have some decent young pitchers. He's from Venezuela. He pitched for the Venezuelan team. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see
what happens. Last year he struggled. He actually struggled a little bit during training camp here, or spring training. But it's been kind of weird for him as he's been popping back and forth. So you got Brady Singer, another guy who was in it. You talked about, you got a lot of Chapman. Can they squeeze some more speed out of his fastball to finish games? We'll see. So I'm excited for the Royals. So,
okay, you're avoiding, and we only have about 30 seconds here, you're avoiding your NCAA bracket. What happened?
Oh, I have Texas. That's my only team I have. No, actually, they lost.
They're gone.
So I have nobody. But I will tell you this. Florida Atlantic University, which is about 30 miles south of where I'm at right now, there's a lot of people that are fired up and excited about that.
Not only that, but Miami's there too. two Southern Florida teams are crazy.
I mean, every news story, it's kind of like when the Kansas City Chiefs go to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Every news story is about the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, every news story that comes on now is about FAU and, the students and the team and all the side stories and all that. So I guess I'm rooting for them. I'd like to see them. There were 300-1, Frank, to make it to the National.
I wish I would have put some money on them, Tim. We got to go, buddy. Thanks to our sponsors, CBD American Shaman. You've been listening to
Crunch Time.